Let's see what happens when we dare to color outside the lines. You're listening to Color Mixology, the debut podcast from Sherwin-Williams.
Hello, and welcome to Color Mixology by Sherwin-Williams. I'm your host, Sue Wadden. In our last episode, we had a fantastic conversation with Jason Phillips, CEO of Phillips Collection. We talked all about the exciting and future-focused developments happening in the furniture industry, all around the world and in everyone's homes. It was an episode you won't want to miss, so make sure to check it out. Today, we've invited three celebrated designers to join us for a discussion about our just-announced 2026 Color of the Year, Universal Khaki. Welcome to Color Mixology, Ben Johnston, Raymond Boozer, and Marie Flanagan. Thank you all so much for coming to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
I'm really excited. This is like an all-star cast, everybody. So I want you guys to get to know our panel today. So we're going to start with just quick intros. Tell us who you are, where you're located, just kind of a brief description of your design approach and philosophy, and kind of maybe one more thing, like what are you super excited about right now that you're working on? So Raymond, let's start with you.
Of course, you're going to start with me.
Nobody wants Raymond, to go first, Raymond.
I'm Raymond Boozer, and I'm the principal designer of Apartment 48 Interiors. I've had an interior design company for 30 years now, and we focus mostly on residential and commercial design. Our style is kind of a bohemian but modern like take on like interiors, but I also like traditional. You know, I'm not locked into one aesthetic. I've been doing this for a long time, so I've sort of come to be known as like a color expert in the field, you know, but that's only from the experience of making a lot of mistakes with color.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about that. That's awesome. And how about one thing you're excited that you're working on now?
I'm really excited. I'm doing some really cool things. We're doing a townhouse on 89th Street that's like 6 floors. It's amazing. I convinced them to take out a bathroom and put in a second kitchen upstairs for like the roof deck and then the garden. It just goes on and on and on. So this project has already been 2 years and we're still like killing it.
Amazing. All right. Well, then we'll kick it over to Marie. How about you? You want to go next?
Sure. Yeah. I'm Marie Flanagan. I'm based in Houston, Texas, and I lead a full service interior design firm that works on projects across the country. We really focus on timeless, refined interiors that really has an approach that blends architecture with interiors and telling the personal story of everybody we work with. Some exciting things that I'm working on are we've got another collection with Visual Comfort launching at High Point in October, and we just released our second book, The Perfect Room, with Rizzoli.
That's exciting. Awesome. All right. We'll talk about that in a second. And Visual Comfort, I love them. They're great folks. And then Ben, let's wrap up with you.
Hi, everybody. I am Ben Johnston. I am the creative partner of an award-winning architecture and interiors company based here in Texas, but working all over the globe. And I guess I'm known mostly for what we call our classic curated and cool environments, which I'm also happy to talk a little bit more about and as we move along. I'm most excited about the fact that I have a book also coming out with Rizzoli in February of 2026 entitled Refined Interiors, Timeless Homes for Modern Living. And that's already available for pre-order on Amazon.
Amazing. So I feel like that's going to be a nice segue into what we're here to talk about today, which this is the Color of the Year episode, which we're really excited about. So you guys have all had a sneak peek of the color. You know, what was your first impression? Do you love it? Are you skeptical? Did it surprise you? Or did it feel like, okay, well, it's about time? So here, Ben, we'll start with you this time.
Let's see. Well, my first impressions, khaki, you know, by design is kind of meant to blend into its surroundings and not to make a statement, which perhaps was a statement within itself. You know, khaki's cousins, beige and taupe, have been very popular for the last decade. So I think it was about time that khaki joined the party. You know, but as a designer who really appreciates the bold use of color, I was A little skeptical, admittedly. I was hoping for something that I thought was a bigger statement and something a bit more inspirational.
Love it. Fair. We will answer. Okay. How about you, Marie?
I was into it. I feel like khaki, you know, Ben touched on it being such a beautiful neutral, but it can have so much depth and it can really carry the weight of more bolder colors. So sometimes I think you need a lot of quiet and, you know, foundational elements to a room to pull off some of the bolder statements. I think it feels connected to nature, which is very much a part of my work and what I try to do. And I think it's really grounding. And yeah, I think it can have several personalities depending on how you use it. So I was into it.
I think the first thing I thought when I saw the color, I thought Ralph Lauren, because to me, this reminds me of Ralph Lauren so much. And I think that khaki is one of those colors that, as Marie said, is kind of a base. It's like a background color where you layer things. And Ralph Lauren is so good at like putting things with khaki, like bright colors with khaki or greens with khaki or like earth tones. You know, like his whole like aesthetic is about like mixing something neutral with something like surprising and unexpected. And it fits my aesthetic too, because I like to mix things that don't necessarily belong together. But then once people get used to seeing it, it feels like, oh yeah, that's a thing now. I mean, everybody knows what you mean when you say Ralph Lauren. So I thought this is a great color to use as a backdrop for other stuff. You know, I like bright colors too, like Ben. So I would use it as a background color and then layer in furniture. Maybe navy is a great color to go with this. You know, any other kind of bright colors like red, orange, green. You know, I'm just going to name colors now. but I can see how somebody... I can see how a minimalist would use it as a neutral and then maybe put with whites, you know, and other shades of taupe, you know, like tone on tone. I think the biggest trend right now is color drenching. And like a color like this is perfect for that because you can do the molding, the trim, the sealing, you know, it's not too dark. And then you have like a base for whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's for sure. So you guys hit on all the high notes of why we picked this color. I think it was the right year for a quiet collection. So Marie, to your point, khakis can kind of live however they want to. They're very versatile. But we haven't really talked about khaki in a long, long, long time, maybe since the 90s. Like that was when I was coming through design school. And khakis were really important because there was a lot of green, as there is now. So coming out of COVID, this whole decade has been, green has just been everywhere. And I just think that that was a natural progression of where neutrals were going. We all understand white, right? What that power that that's been. And then beige, certainly, like that's been rising and warming up of color. So for us, khaki was like, for our audience to kind of symbolize, like, this is a shift, right? We're seeing just a little more of that natural neutral take hold. So you guys are, you know, perfect in what you brought to talk about. But one of the macro trends that we sort of discussed at length, right, when we're coming up with our choice is the idea of the name. So universal khaki, it's truly a well-behaved khaki. It doesn't go too green. It doesn't get too muddy. It's not too blue. It's not too taupe. And so we loved that about the actual color. But I'd like for you guys to talk about the idea of what are concepts that are truly universal in design for you, for each of your aesthetics. We're going to start with Marie on this one. Don't overthink it. Just like, what for you is a universal design concept?
Yeah, I think when I think about universal design in my own work, it's about, you know, finding the desire to mix beauty and comfort and how they can coexist. And how creating spaces that feel like home and finding ways of using different design elements that feel timeless and true to the people living there.
All right, Raymond, how about you?
I think for me, I think happiness is universal. And I think that the reason why people paint their rooms in the first place is because they think they're going to be happier with a different color. And I think the way I approach design is like, what's going to make my client happy? So happiness is a really important thing to everybody and to universal desire. It's why we buy things. It's why we go to school, get an education. We think anything we do, we're building on something that's going to make us happier in the end. I think it's the universal goal, like of everybody everywhere around the world. And I do think, like, when I'm thinking about decorating, I'm thinking, like, what's the best choice or what's a fun choice? I mean, Marie just mentioned something like timeless, and I do timeless interiors. We're working on something in Gramercy now that's very timeless, like black and white, you know, and beige. But I do think that colors make people happy, at least for the moment. And I think when somebody wants to paint their bedroom or paint a nursery, they just want it to bring some joy to their lives.
It can also cause massive frustration, too, for people. That's why they need designers, because picking the wrong color is like, I hear about it all the time. So that's why everybody needs designers.
Right. But you know what I say? You make a mistake, you paint over it.
Totally agree. Yes. All right, Ben, how about you?
Oh, Lord. For me, probably the thing that I think about is universal, kind of comes back to my training as an architect. And fun fact, a lot of people don't know, but Marie and I went to college together, both for architecture school. And, you know, one of the things they, of course, really drill into your core values is this notion of functionality. Louis Sullivan, who was Frank Lloyd Wright's kind of mentor, was the man who kind of coined the phrase "form follows function." So, for me, as I work through my design process, the thing I think is truly universal is when you can connect the choices that you're making to the function that they're performing. And sometimes that function can be very kind of about acts of daily living, but it could also be about how you're trying to create a mood or to influence how you feel in a space. And so when you're designing with functionality and intention in mind, I think some pretty amazing things happen. And it allows us as designers to really, satisfy the psychological needs of comfort, connection, memory, and even self-expression.
We talked endlessly about the idea. There's a couple words that I really love related to this color: structure, function, essentialism. So it was, we discussed at length how a color like this can just kind of obviously be versatile in lots of different spaces. But no matter whether it was minimalism is your thing, maximalism is your thing, whether you have a ton of keepsakes or you just want bare basics, a color like this is essentialism at its finest. And so I think you guys have all touched on things that define what's essential in your designs. Do you think that it's additive? Is essentialism additive in your design process, or is it more about curation? Just curious. Raymond, let's start with you.
I think for me, it's more about curating things. I think anything that's important to a client of mine is going to be essential to them. And a lot of times it's hard to get people to let go of things. So one of my biggest goals in every interior is to get all the clutter into one place. So I always do some kind of millwork. Usually it's painted a bright color and put everything on one side of the room so that the rest of the room can breathe. But I think it's important to let people have their stuff. I think it really is important. I'm definitely a maximalist, but I like to control the environment. You know, I don't want chaos.
For me, I kind of go back to, you know, people like Angelo Donghia, who really talked about a lot in his work about, you know, if you add one more thing, it feels overdone. And if you take one thing away, it feels underdone. You're kind of threading this very careful balance about what is essential. So I agree with Raymond. It's very much for me about the curation of the elements in a room and how they're deployed. So, I mean, I think it's really, for me, all about finding that balance.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with what they're saying. And I feel like it's foundational principles to design, because I would never call myself a maximalist, but I agree with the kind of foundational ideas of it's less about stripping things away as it is about choosing items with care and asking all of ourselves, what truly matters in this room? What are we trying to do? What is the function? What is the heart of the room? How does it tell the story of the family living there, of this home, of their life? How do we layer in the texture and the detail to create the richness? And whether that's with color or with, you know, layering of different textures and materials. For me, it's less about quantity and more about intention.
It's like just popped in my brain as we were talking about this. Do you have any funny stories, like examples of work with either yourself or with a client? Like, I think of When Harry Met Sally and the wagon wheel coffee table. Like, has there ever been a thing that somebody really wanted that you were like, I can't. You don't, You don't have to mention if you don't want to. I don't want you getting in trouble, but I feel like people would appreciate a little of the insider insight for what designers go through. Anything you can think of? I'm trying to think if there's something for me.
I can tell you that I've had a few clients who won't let go of things. I had a client that I worked with years ago, and she had this sofa in her living room that she didn't want to let go of. I convinced her that we'd buy two new sofas, get them reupholstered, got them delivered. And I would say this is like 15 years ago. To this day, she still has that third sofa sitting in the living room. She will not get rid of it. And then like one of my clients is a friend of hers, and we just did a custom sofa at Cravit for her. And she called me up and she said, I just saw Mary and she told me I shouldn't let go of my old sofa. And I was like, you know, Mary still has that sofa from 15 years ago sitting in her apartment. It's like insane, you know, like people have attachments to certain things, you know.
Right. And I don't know if that's value or heirloom. It could be a million things, but it was just
not an heirloom.
Me up.
It was not an heirloom. It was irrational. It was irrational.
It was just an attachment, you know, like crazy artwork, right? You know, people, you know, at one point in their life, they spent, you know, really good money on a piece. And now maybe it doesn't fit with the design aesthetic. That has to be an intense challenge on how to design a room and make it work.
Artwork's really hard. It is hard.
And again, like then you're like commentary on a person's, you know, art taste is very personal. I would not want to get involved in that conversation. No way. Ben, Marie, anything else? Do you have any funny stories?
I don't know if I have a funny story, but I tend to have clients with a ton of collections and they just like have all these collections everywhere. And sometimes it's about controlling the chaos. I often like to try to group the collections instead of displaying them all over, is group them or like put them, if they're not the most sightly items, then I'll find a beautiful like antique hutch and lacquer the inside and, you know, put them in ways that they're not hurting the overall aesthetic, but people get to keep the items that they love.
That's very good advice. Good advice for me too. I have some collections and I need to strip them back. So that's good advice. Ben, how about you? Anything funny?
I think probably one of the more bizarre requests that we had was we have a client who has a very large collection of bongs. And it was really about kind of trying to find tasteful ways in which to display all the bongs that I think was one of the more unusual things that I've been requested to kind of tackle. But you know what? Ultimately, this particular client uses every last one of them. So it was also about, in a way, thinking about them in a very functional way as well. So it's one of those stories that still makes me laugh to this day.
Ben, that is a gold star story. I love it. Absolutely love it. So let's tell everybody a little bit about what your home is. I'm just curious, you know, we obviously do and promote a bunch of our work for our clients, but what's your personal style like? You know, Marie, what's something that's essential in your home?
It's an interesting question for me right now because I'm in the middle of working on a personal renovation, where I'm moving from a home that we built a few years back. And I'm asking myself that exact question. And, you know, I think the essential things that I'm always looking for, I like to collect pieces that I love over a lifetime. And I've collected some beautiful antiques that I always take with me. Some of them remind me of past projects. Some of them remind me of, you know, travels with my husband. And those are the elements that find their way from house to house, from room to room. And, you know, sometimes just being a designer, we see new things all the time. We get excited about new ideas. And, you know, sometimes even just moving those items around your house makes them new again.
That's very good advice. How about you, Ben?
For me, the thing I just never want to part with is my art. I think it's the most essential thing for me when I, you know, if I was to go from house to house, I want to bring my art with me. If there's a fire, there's a few pieces in my home that I know I'm going to run to go try to save. But, you know, I would say those are probably what I find to be essential. And I just think they provide so much joy to me. And I think that's the thing, wherever you find your joy, that's the thing that is the essential part.
Beautiful. Raymond, how about you?
I'd say that my style, which is a question you've asked first, is more like world traveler. I've traveled a lot. So a lot of the things in my apartment are things that I've got when I traveled. So they all kind of mean something to me because they remind me of that place. But the most important things I think I have are photography. I have a lot of photography. You know, I sort of collect things by Luke Smalley. I think I have like 4 or 5 pieces from Luke Smalley. I have like Jack Pearson, you know. I have an Arthur King photograph that's like my favorite thing is this little boy dancing on a roof. It's from 1944. It's the little boy dancing, but he doesn't know his picture's being taken from far away. And it's like the greatest little photo. And it's my favorite thing. But all of the photography is the most important thing, I think, to me. You know, otherwise, furniture, like, I love the stuff I have, but I'm not attached emotionally to any of my furniture.
Yeah, I think that's, well, I guess, you know, everyone has their own description of what's essential. I'm trying to think what mine would be. Maybe it would be my husband's an amateur photographer, but he does beautiful work. So that's what I would run and grab out of the house, right, if there was a fire. And so for us, that's what's essential. I could change out my sofas every 2 weeks. Like, I don't have attachment to furniture. I don't have the budget to do that, obviously, but it would be nice. So I want to take it back to khaki because, of course, that's what we're here to talk about. So for you, for each of you, what would khaki resonate right now in design? Is it comfort, simplicity, or is it something else? So Raymond, let's start with you.
I think it's simplicity. I think one thing I didn't reference is like it's very military color. And I think that a uniform is a really simple thing. It's so funny because I have a jumpsuit that's like the same color as this color that you've chosen for the color of the year. And I think that kind of uniform idea of simplifying like what you're going to wear. I keep going back to fashion and I keep making references to like Ralph Lauren and The Gap. I feel like that's what I see as this khaki. It's like a base for other things to be layered on.
I don't reference fashion often in like my macro themes, but I am with this color, obviously, because of the very obvious connection. Maybe it's just the time. Maybe it's like I need this like palette cleanser from where, you know, it's kind of midway through this decade where we've been since COVID and maybe thinking forward to where we're going. So that's my hot take, but enough about me. Ben, what do you think?
I mean, the same as both of you. I mean, if you talked about how it had a moment in the 90s, and I think of, unfortunately, the Persian Gulf War. And you know, for me, it has fashion, both military implications, but also school uniforms, which I also grew up wearing. But the thing for me is that on a more pleasant note, I always think about, again, this connection to nature. And I think that's what khaki means to me. And what I like it to mean to me. And, you know, for me, I think about, I went on an incredible photo safari in South Africa a few years ago and just all, you know, being there dressed in khaki, trying to blend in, but also seeing all these gorgeous creatures in their natural habitats. I mean, for me, that's where my heart leads me when I think of this color.
I love that. Marie, how about you?
You know, I really see it as a response to all of the moody tones and the gem tones being used in design today, the greens, the deep burgundies, rust tones. It's the neutral that has enough weight to be paired with those stronger colors. I'm designing a room that has really deep wood walnut paneling. And we wanted to brighten up the cabinets, but you can't pair such heavy colors with just a bright white. It has like a starkness and it just doesn't work. So I feel like khaki is the response for something weighted to receive some of these deeper colors. And, you know, just personally, it reminds me, my husband and I just had our 20th wedding anniversary. And thank you. We just took a trip to France to celebrate. And, you know, we were in Provence and basically these towns are colored the color tones of the earth that they literally built the towns with. And we were in this small town outside of Gourdes and like there's golds, terracottas, yellows, browns, obviously khakis, literally because all of these buildings were formed from the earth. And I think that that is just a beautiful reminder to me that it is so nuanced and centered in nature and beautiful.
Yeah, we're going to talk in a second about like coordinating colors, but I totally agree. So I am all about browns these days. For me, it's just like, again, maybe it's throwing me back to the 90s and I need that right now. But that nature connection is very, very strong and will kind of have new life when paired with khaki. So again, not about me. I want to get your input on this. So Marie, I think you've answered, you know, how you would use khaki in a space. But Ben, how would you use it? Would you use it maybe as a focal point or an accent, or like, how can you see using a khaki?
I think it makes a great background color, but I also, to layer other colors on, and Raymond talked about this earlier, I find it to be a really interesting color to layer kind of its complete opposite. So for me, I think about like periwinkle blue, something that's so clear and almost like a pastel color, I think really sings when it's juxtaposed to such a color that is so nuanced and so, muted. And I think that they kind of sing together. I think there's an electricity that happens when you put those colors together. Even things like kind of like an electric purple or a chartreuse color that really just, again, pops. I think that's really exciting to me. So I think I would be tempted to go in that direction. And I also think I love graphic patterns. So I love, something that would incorporate some black into the mix and would do something with the khaki that felt very eye-catching, so that it kind of, in a way, you know, it takes it from being a background color and brings it into the foreground. It brings it into the thing that your eye sees.
Love it. Can't add anything more to that. I absolutely agree. Raymond, how about you?
Ben just took all of my colors.
I know. It was good.
The only thing I would add is maybe I like the idea of navy and khaki together. And I think that, like he mentioned black, but I think you could do the same thing with navy, where you have a color that has some richness to it, and you can have that khaki be the neutral and the navy be like the bold statement.
Agreed. I love it. Again,
back to
rich
your school
tones.
Uniform.
Yes. And reds, you know, it's not always easy to pair a deep red, a deep jewel tone, a burgundy with a neutral. Like that's kind of wimpy. It feels like it can't stand up. But I think khakis do a good job of like standing on their own.
I agree.
When paired with reds too. I keep looking at the lampshades in your background there.
Yeah, they're pookie lampshades.
They're so cute. I love those. All right. So critics will say, you know, how is a neutral a color? It's so safe. It can be even boring. How could you argue against that from your design training? What do we know as designers about neutrals?
I mean, I think a lot of people, neutrals can get a bad rap for being boring, but I think that they have so much potential to anchor a space, to create depth, depending on, you know, everybody just talked about all the colors they love to pair with them. You know, the color theory behind some of these neutrals, they can really take on totally different personalities depending on what they're paired with. I actually like to pair khaki with blush tones and brighter whites for a softer palette. And then in that palette, khaki then becomes the central player. It doesn't just have to be a background player. And I think the undertones that you give it can shift depending on what light it's in, you know, pairing it with natural light versus incandescent LED. I think that can totally change its personality. But I think it could be really rich and even bring so much depth into any room.
I want to add to that because I think there's something really interesting about, you know, khaki. I often think of very rough, raw textures, but then I love to see a color like that elevated into the use of like mohair, something that's super decadent, super luxe. And I think that that can also recontextualize the color because all of a sudden, instead of it feeling to maybe, what was your word, Marie, wimpy? I think it can become something that's really decadent. So I think there's some fun that you can have with playing with texture and that color.
Yeah, I think that Marie made a really good point. I think that neutrals can be a color. I'm known for bright colors and like, you know, rainbow, but I've done like projects where everything is white. So you could take one color and like layer it in different tones and make a more interesting story than you can with like just pushing all bright things that clash together. You know, and I think it, you just have to have the right client for it. And I had the right client for it. And we had a beautiful white loft where things are white, but different shades of white. And then the furniture is white, but it's not a boring room at all because there's different textures. And then khaki is a great color to mix in with that because it's just tonal. You know, it's not like grabbing all the attention.
It exactly. It lets everything else in the room kind of shine, which maybe it's the time for that in design. As you guys have mentioned, you know, we've been into the jewel tone thing and the rich depth of color. And maybe it's just time to like take a beat and see a color that kind of goes with everything else and lets that like natural element come to the forefront.
I think it's time for everything. One thing I've noticed about, at least I live in New York, everything seems to be in now. You know, like 70s are in and the 90s are in. And like Art Deco is making this huge comeback in design. It's just, it's like everything. It was like mid-century modern for like ever. And now like everybody's talking about Art Deco, like everywhere I go.
It's fascinating. I was just talking to a colleague that works in the furniture side of our business. And we were talking about wood stained kitchen cabinets. And that has not been a thing in a long, long, long time. But they're seeing an increase, like 30% increase in people looking for stained cabinets, like high-end luxurious cabinets. So it's just kind of a pendulum shift. I think that like colors, like having a moment, right? People are not feeling that they have to make this like austere environment that has to live forever. They're personalizing it maybe. So it could be a little of that as well. It's exciting to see. It looks new and fresh. So I'm here for it. All right. Well, we're going to do one more segment. I've never done this before. We're going to do a rapid fire round. So I'm going to bring up a design element and you're going to say either essential or excess. It's going to be fun. I think it'll be fun.
Okay. We'll make it fun.
We'll make it fun. All right. First one. And we'll start. We'll go Marie, Ben, Ray. Okay. How's that? All right. Accent walls, essential or excess?
Excess.
It depends on it. If it's an architectural accent wall, I'm going to say essential.
I hate accent walls. I don't get it. It's like, just do the whole room or don't do it. God.
All right. All right. That's perfect.
I don't like a painted accent wall, just for the record, or a wall of wall covering. I do not like that.
Yes. People love it. So talk to them about that and why they shouldn't do it, right? That could be another topic for another podcast. All right. Second one, throw pillows. Marie, go.
Essential.
Essential.
Essential, for sure. You should see my apartment. I have so many pillows.
All right. Open shelving. Essential or excess?
I'm going to go ahead and categorize it as essential. Just not too many. Not too many.
I'm going to say essential.
I'd say essential if you have a purpose for it.
Yes, just not arbitrary. Okay, good. All right. Wallpaper. Essential or excess?
Essential.
Essential.
Essential. Yeah, that's how we make money.
Yeah, I love it. Well, also important. That is also essential. All right. Matching furniture sets. Essential or excess?
Excess indoors, essential outdoors.
I could not have said that better.
I know. Marie, you nailed that. That was so good.
I agree with Marie. I think that I don't like matching inside. It feels like you just went to one place and got everything. But like outside, it just gives you that groundedness and that like cohesiveness that you need. So yeah, essential outside.
Can I tell y'all, I've actually felt mildly guilty every time I do like matched sets outside. And then I'm like, am I copping out? Like I feel guilty about it. But then you guys have just made me feel so much better. So thank you.
I agree. And I'm going to play this for my husband because every time I buy a set outside, he gets mad at me. Like, you don't know what you're doing. I'm like, listen, I do.
You can reference all of us.
Exactly. Exactly. So thank you, everybody.
You know why that is because outside you don't have the context of walls to like say this stuff goes together. So it needs to match.
Yeah. You need the structure of the shape. You guys are amazing. Thank you. All right. Well, last one. Bold art in neutral rooms, essential or excess?
Essential.
I mean, look at me.
I know.
Essential.
Essential.
That's fantastic. Well, you guys, you have been so generous with your time, and I really appreciate all of it. So I just have one more closing question for you guys. We love universal khaki, but what is your personal color of the year for the upcoming year? What's most essential for your family, for your life, for what you're trying to achieve? It could be clothing. It could be in your interiors. It could be a favorite vacation spot. Tell me. And Raymond, let's start with you.
I like pink. I think that pink, I'm not sick of it. I know it was really popular 5 years ago, but I love using pale pinks instead of white in interiors. And I like using it like not just for like little girls' room, but for other occasions too. I think that pink has a lot of legs still too. Like, I think it's become a neutral. I think that's how I want to say it. It's become a neutral.
I agree. Okay. How about you, Ben?
Gosh, I think for me, I think the color that I just think is my color of the year is that oxblood color. It's been so prevalent in fashion, and I'm seeing a resurgence of that in the home furnishings market as well. I think people are drawn to its lushness, its sexiness, the mood it gives a space. I think in terms of the Sherwin-Williams color, I think the one that I'm thinking of is 7595. Sommelier is the closest to the version of oxblood that I am drawn to.
I love that too. And it's also 90s, like the 90s, right? That color was very important in the 90s.
Right, so along with khaki.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Okay, Marie, how about you?
If I'm pulling from a Sherwin-Williams color, one of my favorites right now is Aurora Brown. It actually is kind of along the same lines as Ben's oxblood, but it's a little bit more earthen and a little bit more, you know, just subtle. I've got it in my personal home and love it. And, you know, I'm using a lot of greens right now. And then my biggest surprise for 2025 is being more open-minded to working with yellow. And I feel like it has made a comeback and I'm seeing it on our design boards more and more. So I feel like
my second one would have been banana cream. Like banana cream, I'm all about right now.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. We talked a lot about yellow as being our color of the year. But we wanted to tell this story more. So I love it, you guys. You have been fantastic guests. I so appreciate your time. How can people find you? Marie, how can people find you?
Find me on my website, marieflanaganinteriors.com. You can also find us on Instagram at marieflanaganinteriors.
Awesome. Ben, how about you?
On Instagram at Benjamin Johnston Design and on the web at benjamin-johnston.com.
Awesome. And Raymond.
Cool. You can find me on Instagram, apartment48.
Awesome. You guys, thank you so much for your time. As always, we'd like to take a moment to congratulate our September Designer of the Month, Brittany Button of Button Atelier, based in Los Angeles. We had the pleasure of featuring this designer's Mesa Bungalows project earlier this year in STIR, our monthly e-newsletter for design professionals. And we hope you'll help us congratulate her on social media at SW Design Pros. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and tell other design and color lovers about our show. See you next time on Color Mixology.